are listening to A Penny and a Peswa. I'm your host, Ursula Imra. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of A Penny and a Peswa. You are listening to season 3, episode 2. And today I am very excited because I have two special guests with me. And this is my first time recording an episode in person with my guests. They're not guests, actually. They're co-hosts. So, yeah. Please welcome to the A Penny and a Peswa table, Enjoyment Mommy and Mommy. Oh my goodness.
You have it too much.
Oh my goodness. Okay, guys. Anyways, before they introduce themselves, what we're talking about. Today we're talking about the struggles of living as a young person in Ghana. I don't live in Ghana, but I've lived in Ghana before, and I've spent enough time here during my vacation to actually be annoyed by living here, so I'm ready to rant. We'll probably go off topic. That's completely fine. Just enjoy the episode, and yeah, you guys can introduce yourselves. Whoever wants to go first can go first.
Because
you're a podcaster, just do it.
No,
pave the way.
No pressure. I've not done this in a long time. But hey guys, I've been here before, so you both should know my voice by now. It's Enjoyment Mommy. I feel like that's about it. It's Enjoyment Mommy.
That's all per. My sound is better.
I don't know what to say, to be honest. Right?
So,
yeah, my name is Matt, and on YouTube, I'm Matt on this. Be Matt on this. Yeah, so that's me.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so we have our drinks in front of us. We've had a good time already. We've been here for about an hour, right? We've been trying to set up for about an hour, so yeah. But how did your day go for both of you? When I spoke to Sally earlier, she was like in a spa. The place is a spa.
Oh, please.
Don't even let her lie to you. It's a whole spa.
It's like you're so dramatic.
And she moaned. She was asking me. I don't want her nails.
It's like you're so dramatic.
And she was asking me, where are you going? When she was in the spa.
Yes.
Then I was going to do my 2x4 chilling.
No, when I called, I faced her Instagram, and she had like these sunglasses on, she was in the car. Like, you can't
do that. There's a motive.
Exactly. And me, I was sitting in the area salon, keeping my friend.
Area salon.
No, when I called you, I was actually in the salon in the area.
Oh.
My friend was getting hit and enough.
Yeah, so you're just saying you don't use your area salon.
I do. She did these calls.
The corals are nice. You know, I didn't put the beads on mine because I was like, I'm taking them out soon. So,
you can use the beads again. Like,
that's true.
But anyway, yeah.
I feel like if we didn't talk about our days, how has your week been?
Hey, the week, yeah.
This week has been long.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah. I don't know who. People have been saying that the week went by quickly.
Yeah.
Not.
My week went by quickly, and it was one of the best weeks I've ever had since the year started.
Really?
Let me just cap it.
I mean,
the
good
year
to hear
started.
That.
Yeah,
I'm
right?
Happy for you.
I know.
But for me, it was such a long week. Like, it was so stressed. I feel like it's also because this is the most productive I've been in a while.
Yeah, I feel like that productivity is what gave me
the good feeling.
The good vibes, yes, of the week. Because this week has just been, I'm on top of my game.
That's
like,
right.
I worked, it was just, I even tweeted about it. I was saying if I enjoyed reading, I would have aced my role at work. But it doesn't mean I'm trash at my job. Mm-hmm. I'm really good, but I'm not like...
I could be better.
Yes, I could be better if I enjoyed or I loved reading, yeah.
And for me, the week was long. Like, it was so long. It was Tuesday and I was like, goodness. Because tomorrow will be Friday. Like, I was so tired. But then, I mean, I get like that fulfilling feeling. Like, you've done something and like, you're feeling good about it, but it took a lot of energy for me. And I haven't had to expend that much energy since, like, I don't know, December. So I was feeling really tired, I was feeling really drained, but it ended on a good note, honestly. I got my nails done.
So right.
I always, like, for me, getting my nails done kind of like therapy. Like, I like, it makes me happy too.
Yeah, no, the week was low-key stressful. Because tell me why I got an email. So I'm studying abroad next month. And tell me why I got an email telling me that my welcome package, which includes the airport arrival information, has been put on hold because I've not made a certain payment. I said, wow.
And when yours be there?
February 1st. Mind you, as of yesterday, I hadn't even bought my ticket and I leave in a week. So, yeah, but I was able to figure that out earlier in the week, so that was okay. But yeah, my week has been basic. This is the first week since I came that I have not gone. I've only gone out once this week. And I just went out with one of my friends. He's a photographer. And we went to shoot some girl who's starting a fashion line.
Hey, they should tell you.
But that's like, put it in context. She said photographer. So please, but, don't put words in there. So I mean, it's going on big social media. Before they start looking into Essa.
No, like,
shout out to Enyom.
They're making
and shout out to Alyssa because she was actually like, I ended up talking to her more than my friend, and I've known him for years, but she's a really nice person. So I made a nice friend. That was fun. So anyways, let's just jump into the conversation. I feel like we all don't want to speak about our locations, so
the longest is Birmingham in Ghana.
And we live in Accra. We live in Accra, the capital. It's still the capital, right?
Yes. Yeah.
I heard that they wanted to move it to Cape Coast.
Oh, that was a while back, but
I've been out of here for a long time.
It's still Accra.
So yeah, so when it comes to living in Ghana, especially in Accra, there are a lot of things that really make you go like, yo, Charlie, you need to leave the country. Coming back, I was so excited. Then when I got here, I was like, damn, I'm going to sit in traffic. I'm going to do this, this, and that. The first and foremost thing that I hear a lot of people complain about, whether they're visiting or whether they live here, is customer service everywhere. So what are our opinions on customer service in Ghana? I like today when I was coming back from town with my mom, we went to the ECG office to buy prepaid on our electricity card. And I don't know if it's because they were about to close, the woman was angry or what too. When I got there, I greeted her. Oh, she eyed me. And then she was like, what? And I was like, what does she mean by what? And I'm like, I'm joking. I was like, oh, I'm buying 200 series. Then she eyes me, snatched the thing from my hand, and then she just threw it on the counter. And then she stares at me.
Now she focuses the endless face. And she's narrating.
And then she stares at me again. And she's like, what? Because I was just shocked at how she, like, literally just threw the thing at me. I didn't say anything. I took the thing. But anyways, what are our feelings? What are our rants about customer service?
I feel like customer service in Accra is set up in a way that when you get what you are supposed to get, you are overwhelmed because you don't get it. Okay, do you get it? When you meet someone who's so nice, the person's like, hi, good afternoon, have a seat, we attend to you right now. I mean, that is customer service. Yeah. That is what's supposed to be happening. Mm-hmm. But when you go to a place and you get that treatment, you're like, oh my God, these people, they are so good. I remember the time that we were talking about a certain bank, no free PR. Mm-hmm. We were talking about a certain bank and then you sent the guy's number to me and I got a call the next day asking me how I was creating the account online, the whole process, if I would rate it over 5, and then did I enjoy the service. After I ended the call, I was asking myself, did a bank just call me to ask me how I felt about opening an account from the comfort of my home? Mm-hmm. Like, I wasn't in a queue, I didn't have to sign any papers, I'll just do everything electronically. It was easy in its sense, but then they still called to ask how easy it was. And I felt like that is customer service, but in Ghana, you don't get that. Anywhere you go, everybody's just rude for no reason. Like, So the moment you just tip them off, you're just going to get the worst service you've ever
had. I totally agree. And I think for me, it's especially different because I have been in like an organization where I was like part of the customer service, like the customer experience. So I did an internship in like this retail shop. And I think the thing that they hammered on the most was making sure that the customers are satisfied and are happy. And so there were countless number of days where people walk into the shop and they are like in awe of the quality of customer service they are getting there. Because we're literally at your beck and call. We will attend to your every need and we'll make sure you are very fine. And people, like, there were days when I would get tips and it was so wild because I'm like, goodness, I'm just doing my job.
Right.
But then people are like, they're so amazed at the way you are being so polite and being so helpful. And I feel like for that, that also has kind of spoiled me. And so I'm very critical of the kind of customer service I get because I have been an active part of delivering a good customer experience.
Yeah.
And so now when I go to a place and I'm treated like trash, basically, I am almost in awe because I'm like, goodness, I am a human being and I think I deserve to be treated with some form of respect. Right. But then they say, I think the one thing that's very common among like a lot of customer service personnel is they act like they're doing you a favor.
Yeah. Yes.
They act like they're doing you a favor. And I'm like, goodness.
And I think
you agree to this job.
They act like if you don't want it, you can go. Yes. Somebody else wants it.
Yes.
So yeah, I'm like, losing one person is just, it's nothing. You can go. Another person wants it anyway.
I saw a tweet that said that in Ghana, if you go somewhere and the waiter says please, is equivalent to them saying fuck off. Please, we don't have.
Right? Please, we don't have. Like, the menu, but we don't have.
And I think that sometimes like, it forces people to be this nonsense kind of humble.
Yeah.
Because now you're so scared of the kind of service that
you have to be almost. You have to be.
And you have to be like, I'm sorry, please, can I get this? Oh, excuse me, sorry, but I don't need to be here for that part. Like,
in the same breath, it also makes people rude because people know that I'm coming to get a shit customer service. So even if I'm polite, they're not going to be polite back to me. So in the first place, I'm just going to be rude. I'll not even wait to hear the person's voice and see if the tone is friendly or the tone is rude. Or I'll just straight, do you have this? Do you have this? If you don't have, okay, go. Like, meanwhile, the person was going to be nice.
I get that. But, and I mean, for that, I feel like that's a problem because you shouldn't treat people because, well, in that case, I don't think you should be treating people because of the way they would treat you or the way you would.
But I feel like that's also the way the industry has made people react to
them. I mean, definitely. And it's fair. Like, that's fair, but that's sad. Like, it's sad that that's people's, like, that's someone's default, you know, setting or response, like, to be rude because they know they're
going to
be,
you know, you're going to get bad customer service.
Yeah, I feel like that's
cool. So, coming from your perspective, I also worked in retail. I worked in a clothing store, two department stores. At the same time, my first summer of college, so I'm also very used to like the very good customer service. And also in the US, we give shit customer service, you're gonna get fired. And I needed the money. So like coming to Ghana, me, I was I really prepped myself for like, because I remember my best friend was telling me that like, yo, she remembers like before I left, anytime we go out, I used to fight. I really used to fight. Like, there was this time we went out and I was fighting. She was like, damn. She knew I was aggressive. But she knew I was just aggressive. I was fighting. And I was like, yo, I don't really remember that. But when I came, I went to this one place. And I actually went there again today because the customer service was so good. The food was so good. Everything was just not good. I was like, damn. Is this like, am I really being treated this well? I was shocked. I was just shocked. And today when I took my mom, she was shocked. So she was like, oh, wow.
I think another thing is, like, and you mentioned, like, if you deliver bad customer service, you're going to get fired. I feel like there are no direct consequences for bad customer service in Ghana. And so it makes it, air quotes, easier for people to be rude and angry and welcoming to customers. So I think that's like something that has to change. Like having direct consequences for when, like, if you are rude to this person, it's coming out of your salary. There should be a direct consequence where, like, you know, like you can see the effects of what you're about to do. You might be having a bad day, but like, your salary is more important, I feel.
I also want to say that I feel like it's also on the part of the employers because talking from someone who has worked in Ghana and then someone who has worked elsewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Not that I've left Ghana, but just know that I've worked in two, I've worked in, let's say, a Ghanaian company and then an international company.
Mm-hmm.
With an international company, you know that this is what you're supposed to do. This is what you're supposed to deliver. If you don't do this, this is the consequence. If you don't do this, and it's written in ink, so there's no way it's going to be changed.
Yeah.
But with a Ghanaian agency or Ghanaian company or whatever, it's all, there's always a way around it. Like, I remember there was one time somebody was supposed to deliver something, and then what you're supposed to deliver is supposed to have the date on it. And you sent me a screenshot of it that, okay, this is what you want. Meanwhile, I have the hard copy of it. And then whatever information is on the hard copy doesn't tally with the picture. So I asked you that, oh, you have to print it again for me. So that it will have to embody the whole, yeah, data that I'm looking for. And this person tells me, Master, work with what I give. The moment the person said work with, I just sent the message to the boss, and the person, even the boss didn't have anything. Up to now, I don't even think the boss has replied me. I'm like, come and see what your employee is saying about this thing, because we use data to get whatever service we are rendering. So if we are going to render a service to someone and it's not accurate, how do you expect us to go ahead and do it? Like, and funny, who, or see, work with it. Like, just give the person what the person wants. They don't even strive to give you what you want to make the service for whoever is getting it better.
Mm-hmm.
They are just there for being there, see.
Yeah.
Awkward silence.
Awkward silence because customer service in Ghana is basically shit. But moving on from like customer service, but at the same time linking to transportation. Now, we're high maintenance. Matt, are you high maintenance?
No.
I feel like Matt is high maintenance, so I just want to admit it. He's at the stage of the
high. If I'm high maintenance, then it's only when I'm rich, because I feel like right now I'm dealing with the cheap.
Even when you're broke.
But when I'm rich, that one day, you cannot tell me.
Even when I'm broke.
These people are the definition of high.
But it all depends. Sometimes when I'm really broke.
Look, they are human, okay? There are some days when you just have to leave people again. You just go with the flow and take what life will keep you.
That's funny, huh?
But the truth of the matter is that all something being equal, you are high maintenance, but on some days, you just don't have to be. It's so cute.
God should give us money so that we can keep up with this lifestyle.
Yeah, so.
Back to traffic.
Yeah, but
that's what I can do.
Yeah, because I was about to say we don't have cars.
You have a car.
You are getting one.
Why don't tell the whole world what's like?
But we don't have cars.
Your movement situation is.
You don't have car. You can't even like help me.
You don't have a car.
We all don't have car. Me, I know how to drive. You know how to drive, Sally, right?
Yeah.
You know how to drive. We all know how to drive, but we don't have car.
Right? That's one thing about Ghana.
So
everyone
is
of Uber and Bolt.
And Bolt's driver.
Well, this is not free PR, but I need to mention them.
All these
right feelings. And even if you live in Ghana, you in Accra at least, you know that they, have you guys heard of Yango?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You guys use Yango.
Yeah, no, I use Yango.
You went to Kanye.
You went to Kanye.
Hey, move away, man.
Girl.
You guys use Yango.
Yeah, even other ones, but I mean, you know, no free PR.
There are other ones.
Yeah, other ones.
They know, the people know.
Yeah.
Those who do the right healing, they know.
You know, they say this thing. The girls who get it, get it. The girls who don't, don't.
They don't. So,
you know, literally, it's nothing.
Point is, they are ride healing apps in their menu. Okay.
Yeah.
And they have us by the neck.
Yeah.
And it's bad.
Because my mother, she's not out here about to be dropping me everywhere. I need to go. But anyways, when it comes to ride share apps in Accra, what are our opinions?
I've had what exactly?
Yeah.
Just, I feel like there are many faces.
So let's talk about all the because me,
pricing, their customer service as well as their professionalism.
Don't get me started.
I mean, my own is, can these writers use the map?
Follow
the map. If it's taking you to the right place, just follow it. Don't ask me, do I tenure?
I feel like, okay, I think it depends. So for people, like, when they're coming to pick you up, sometimes people don't put it at the exact location. And it's for different things. Like, sometimes, I mean, I don't know why, but I think the one that makes the most sense to me is security needs, right? Mm. So if you're picking me up from my house, maybe I don't want you to know where my house is. Mm. So I'll put it at, like, I don't know, the turning before my house. Mm-hmm. And then, so maybe I walk, like, a little away from my house.
Like,
and
then junction.
So maybe, like, see where your place is, and you can see at the junction, mm-hmm. so in front of your house, right?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And so it makes sense that sometimes they call, because people do end up entering, like, pickup locations mm-hmm. that aren't actually where they are.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it makes sense that they ask. But also, if I tell you to follow the map, just follow it.
Right.
Mm. I feel like that's a good thing for me. Like, it's okay to ask me once, like, should I follow the map? But then when I say yes, my dear, just follow it.
Right, thing. Don't call me back to ask me.
Just follow me.
Boss, I've reached a place. Left the right. Follow the map.
My the own map is saying I should take the left turn. But the left turn, there are three. So which one? Honey, the first one that it shows you to take.
Yeah.
That's the truth. Like,
I don't even mind if, like, your pickup location is different from the Disney. Mom is when we're sitting in the car, we're going to the place. I don't know where the place is. You don't know where the place is. The map is showing, let's follow the map.
Don't ask
the other day I was going somewhere and the mom was like, he even speak pigeon to on top. He's like, you didn't know that. Something like that, but however you say it. And now I was like, no. And then he turns to look at me. And he's like, you don't know the place.
Like, why is he shocked? Am I a driver? Are you the one who's supposed to
right? And I was like,
follow the map.
I wasn't worried because the place is in Cantonment, you know. Mm. So right, not any
and I mean, Cantonment is like developed, so the map is
exactly. That was my thing. That like, I feel like Cantonment is developed enough for you to be able to follow the map and you get to the right place.
Me, I feel like all these ride hailing apps here, as part of whatever process they go through to recruit or partner with their drivers, they should do some form of test that assesses how well these drivers know Accra.
Yeah.
Because sometimes these people don't know anyway.
December.
They don't know anywhere.
December. December was the worst time for all those drivers who didn't know anywhere, because
they don't know
I remember one time I was going out, right, and I requested a ride from my house. How is it that this driver is calling me, where is your house? Meanwhile, the map leads you.
Sorry, for context, must need a plane to get to Accra.
And hello.
They need a plane to get to Accra.
Don't mind here. I live in Accra. ACCRA.
Accra.
I live in Accra. Okay, so the map leads you right to where I live. So why is it that you are calling me to ask me, oh, boss, make a follow the map? And I was like, oh yeah, follow the map. And mind you, it was like 11 p.m. Yeah, I was going out. And I said, okay.
The house 11
when
p.m.
he called me, one, his English was bad. And I decided to speak Chi because I felt like Chi is a very kind of universal in Ghana. Everyone knows how to speak Chi. He doesn't know how to speak Chi.
That's fine.
That is fine.
That's fine.
Yeah.
Let's not start a different conversation on this.
His pigeon was that's bad because his English wasn't good. So now I was wondering.
You need to know how to speak good English.
Not good English, but you need to know how to use English words to be able to put it together in pigeon. I mean, pigeon is not. Yeah, pigeon.
There are some pigeons. Whatever language you speak, you just throw it inside and they go.
No, it has elements of English, so
I don't mind them. That can't be people who think like
anyways, continue.
Whatever. So I was like, so what form of communication that this boy use? Because at this point I don't know what to do. So I told him that, okay, you know what, there's a filling station in the area. Go and stand there. I'll walk there. Mind you, the filling station is like 5 minutes from my house. Yes, because I was in dire need of going out. I really wanted to go out.
You really needed to leave the house.
Yes, I had to go because my bomber called me. Who am I to say I'm not
going to be there? What the bomber called
me? Yes, don't call me. You see that meme that they've been posting that Bobo is going to bath? I had posted it already, so if I come and delete it, We want the next snap has to be a location. That snap where you put it, the next snap has to be a location. So I walk, mind you, it's 11 p.m. 11 p.m. I walk for 5 minutes and I was like, ah, boss. I'm at the filling station. Who are you?
Okay.
Oh, boss, I know the final. And I checked the map. Where the man is, I canceled the ride. Walk back. No, I didn't have the energy to even request another one because at this point, it's 12 and by the time I'll get there, it'll be like 12:50. And you know how in December, everywhere is like spot hopping. You leave here, you go here for 15 minutes, 20 minutes, 30 minutes, you go to the next spot. So by this time, then left where, then I won't go. It'd be long. I just told myself that, okay, I'm going to sleep. I've just accepted defeat. And I went, daddy, they really laughed at me at home. Because I'll be out. I'm going out, I'm going out.
But like, you have started working out, right? Like, you worked out.
I went to meet the guy at the filling station 5 minutes away. I was determined.
My house said, don't greet you when you come inside. You might even cry. I'm like, you've come back.
Yeah, so I feel like they need to really do an extensive recruitment. Like, they need to find the appropriate language, or they should even have it there that like the driver speaks only Chi, or he speaks that's English, this, that. He does this. So if you pick a rider and you know that he's...
I don't think I have the feature. Once, when we went for the thingy, that was the only time
I don't know if they have it, but I've not seen it before. Helpful. Yeah,
so like you prepare yourself.
Yeah, when you just pick up the phone or you just meet the person, you're speaking the language that it says they speak to the most. You didn't have to go and be winding about with some kind of
language. I also feel like they should give, like when you apply or whatever to become a driver for these rideshare apps, they should give training on how to at least use the map. Because one of my aunties argued that like a lot of drivers are illiterate.
Yeah.
Excuse me to say.
Yeah.
So they don't know how to read the map.
Not this country.
But I feel like when it comes to learning how to read a map, it's important for everyone to know. And it's something that's not hard to understand if you have a smartphone.
Yeah.
So it should be training. It should be very easy. You just do some short location. You follow the blue distance. You are the dot with the arrow inside. Go. Where the blue is, you go. Or whatever color it is, you go. You know, but I don't know. I feel like one driver told me that he doesn't even understand the map. He doesn't. And also, these voices that give directions.
Look, sorry, but let me cut you in. But there was this one time that I picked one, and did you see my snap? The woman sounded like she was crying. The Google Maps voice.
Oh, yeah, I saw your snap.
My theory is that the driver did something that he ain't
not. Right? Because I feel like she gave
a
kind of not accurate direction, and the driver
was also like, you're 200 meters. Damn it.
If you have that snap, I think Esla should just fix the audio.
Yes, I will.
Do you have this now?
I have the chip.
Listen it to me.
Oh, God.
No, she sounded really sad.
I said it's hard. Google Maps, but it sounded so sad. Kind of intimidated.
No, but I feel like...
Them shout for it, though.
No, because... Was that like... I was at Laboni. And this lady said what... Yeah, she mentioned something. I was like, if I didn't know where I was going, I'd be like, what's this? Mm. Where are we going? So I completely understand them. If you turn on that, like, Google Map voice, you really get confused because they can't pronounce the Ghana names. They can't pronounce the street names.
Yeah.
They can only pronounce the English ones. So
yeah.
It's a whole nother, what's it called? That's a whole nother wahala.
And those of them who don't take Momo for mode of payment, are they aware the country is trying to go cashless?
Do you know why?
Are they aware?
It happened to him.
Are they aware?
It happened to my
driver. I'm coming to put his car number online so that nobody will pick him. If you get him, just know that the man is not cashless. He wants cash.
But you know, as someone who doesn't have mobile money, I'm not even angry at that.
No, because you don't have
it. No, but it's not like they say I only take Momo.
Okay,
yeah.
So it's not
it's cash, Momo.
But yes, it's
cash. strictly l'argent.
Yeah, that's that's a little annoying.
Right?
That's annoying.
Because, I mean, these days, everyone is trying to be cashless. And most people are accepting it as a mode of payment. So if I sit in a ride, that is supposed to be revolutionary. It's supposed to be changing the transportation game. How are you telling me that you want cash? Because taxi drivers were doing cash and now... Even taxi drivers now, I'm sure they'll accept Momo because the competition is tough.
I sat in some taxi and the back seat behind on the headrest, he had pasted some paper, said what?
Don't eat Momo. In my car.
First of all, said no food or drink allowed in the car. And then the Momo number was underneath with some egg. I was like, yo, even taxis are upgrading. So if you don't take Momo, dear. But speaking of like money, can we talk about money in general? Me, this is a personal rant. Since I've come to Ghana, my budget, I've probably spent 75% on it. Maybe the whole 100% of my budget on internet bundle.
Oh.
I discovered Midnight Bundle last night. I have 1 week left. The way the thing paid me, because I think I bought 2 CDs and I got 7 gig. But I can only use it at midnight, which is okay.
But hey, you finished that?
I mean, it's okay because at that time I do a lot of stuff. So I don't mind. I can use it till I leave. But then like, I'm angry because I've spent so... I can't even go and call my uncle right now. He can come and testify. The day after I came, it's his fault. Because he made me get an MTN chip. We bought 50 CDs. And the 50 CDs didn't appear on the phone. We called them. They said... Then we were like, yo, we just bought 50 CDs. It's not showing up. Messages are not coming. Phone calls, nothing. The man goes, there's no 50 CDs showing up on your profile. I said, hey, right now that I came now, my 50 CDs have been stolen. It was a nice welcome, but I've been in contact with MTN customer service at least 10 times within the 6 weeks I've been here because they've stolen my money that many times. I'm not even capping. I always make my uncle do it because
these,
I can't.
What are they called?
Medtech service providers.
They're
bullies.
Yeah.
They are bullies.
I think that's the word because...
You and I use the same network, right?
Yes.
I used to use that before I left. Cool. I want to move back to that one.
You can't make... You see, I can't even tell you like that's a good idea.
Yeah.
Because
and I can't even suggest
like,
a better one
either. That's what I'm saying. Nowhere cool is what I'm saying.
Everybody
like,
gets the
everyone is cruise. Suffering wherever they are. Like... And it's so sad because you pay so much money, you sit down and you're spending like so much money on internet bundles. And then before you can blink, the thing is gone.
Right.
If it's not gone, you spend half the time waiting for something to load. You can't like a YouTube video can buffer for 30 minutes.
Can
like
you
it's so just loading.
You even YouTube.
And you just be angry. And, like it's happened to me. Like I get so upset. I'm so tired. I'm just like, no, it's okay, I'm going to bed.
Yeah.
And then my internet is going. But I did not use the internet.
And it's the most expensive thing on their net. Their calls are not even that expensive.
Calls are not expensive. Even YouTube.
Nah, I even bundle my calls.
Right?
Honestly.
Yeah, I do that one because I can get to keep it until it's done. So.
Me, like.
Hey, no free PR.
Honestly, I'm not even mad at like the YouTube buffering. Can you tell me what common Snapchat video I'm trying to watch?
Yeah.
My sister sent me a snap.
You think it's your snap that's not working. You close the app and come back. It's still not.
When I went for one of these concerts during Dirty December, I deleted my Snapchat.
You know,
it was the internet.
You know, at Afronation. Oh, sorry, Afronation didn't happen. At Afronation, everybody's snap was just doing. Didn't add to snap.
Mine too.
I think I have a snap on my phone. I was taking a snap of the number of people who have that red thing on it.
I had it.
And like everybody, the service was just bad over there. You can't do
it was
anything.
Terrible.
And for a festival that is that many people would need to be calling people. Like people would get missing.
Yeah,
people need to locate their friends.
Were you guys there when they made a whole announcement that
there was a kid missing?
There are some missing people.
Yeah.
First of all, why are you bringing underage
minority,
to Africa? Secondly,
first of all, why are you even allowing a minority to enter?
And there should be.
Oh, but I mean, the day festival.
It was like nice over. I didn't go there during the day.
On their site, they said it's 18 plus, so it means it has to be 18 plus for the whole day.
Oh, I don't know.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't see that. But like, me internet bundle taking all my money.
It's expensive and it's not worth.
Yeah.
It's not worth it because...
But you don't have a choice.
I saw a tweet. I'm sure you guys saw this tweet. It was everywhere. But someone said, well, Ghana is the only place where you buy a monthly internet bundle.
It gets finished in a day.
It's very true. It's too much.
I feel like, I think for me, at some point, like, my parents got, like, one of these broadband, Wi-Fi, whatever. So that was, that made sense. Like, it was a lot of data. It was pretty economical. It was pretty economical, because when you do the calculations, like, 1 gig for 1 gig.
Oh, that was good.
And it was for like a month, I think. But I think probably finished before the month even ended.
I mean, yeah,
but I feel like, then, like, not everybody can afford that, right? Mm-hmm. So you have to make like the basic services good and like worth it for the people that can afford it. Because you have a lot of people, like, people buy phones that require internet. They don't have like any fancy phone, but like they have like the basic WhatsApp, Instagram, and they need internet for those things. Mm-hmm. Like, why is the network not working? Like, why? Look, the best way to make the internet is when you're like open to die. They just see like maybe all the customers of one particular service provider.
Yeah, just complaining.
And that's how you know that, yeah, like, we are all stuck in bad service.
Yeah.
And I feel like, what was I going
to
say?
Maybe we should go back to writing it.
Honestly,
like sometimes I feel like sending a letter is faster than
because by the time my letter gets to my lover's place,
the time it takes for
my network is still telling me retry.
I might as well just post a letter.
Do you know there was a time that someone posted a snap. I really wanted to see because I'm comfortable. You know, it took me 24 hours. As soon as the thing came,
it died.
I was watching it, then pop, it expired. I've never seen something in my life before. I texted the person. I was like, what did you post on your snap? I need to see it.
That's the
habit.
But yeah, there have been a good number of snaps. I'm like, oh, I'll come back.
And then you've missed it. Yeah.
It's terrible.
And I feel like one thing about Ghanaian, I'll just generalize it as Ghanaian businesses. They like shedding their unforeseen cost on their customers. Mm. For example, maybe the NS network service providers are doing their job at getting us the service and network, whatever, but then they are doing it as an extra cost. Instead of them to find a way to distribute that cost, they rather shed everything on their customers. So now the data is expensive and it's not even worth it. And they know that people don't have a better choice. Mm-hmm. If there's a network service provider that comes today and they sell 1 gigabyte for 1 CD,
everybody
1 gigabyte for 5 CDs, and then it's fast, it's reliable, everybody just moved it. Even though considerably it's expensive, it works. It's better to pay 5 CDs for my message to go right now than I'll pay 3 CDs and my message will go tomorrow.
I remember what I was going to say. Tell me why you said that even buffer. System-wide, even when I'm using my data to send a text message, I get a notification that your message wasn't able to send. Even text message that I'm using my raw data to send.
It's so bad. It's honestly terrible.
It reaches a point I put my US SIM back in and turn on roaming. Because I can't. Like, even the roaming is better here than...
Yeah.
And even the roaming crap, not even that good, but...
I saw a tweet. I don't know if it's this week. I think it was when Twitter released their whole manifest, your... something thing.
Oh, yeah.
A certain girl tweeted that she's going to be the one to bring the best network service in Ghana, stuff like that. I'm really praying she does it. If she's listening to this episode, Shali, I'm rooting for you.
Rooting for you.
I'm praying that you actually do it. We need a savior at this point. We need someone
who's going to be the testimony.
Yeah.
And you know, a couple months ago, back in school, some African students came to me and this other Ghanaian girl. They were like, oh, there's this report that came out that Ghana is like one of the countries in Africa that has like the best internet. We're like number 2 or whatever. And I was like, then I'm really crying for the other countries, because if we have the best internet, then
right?
You guys in the other countries are going broke. Hmm. You're going broke.
I think
there's one thing for your data to be expensive and there's one thing for it to be trash. Ghana, we are both. So maybe the person is talking from the point that, okay, their data is trash, but maybe it's affordable. But ours is trash and it's not affordable.
It was even based on the fact that like the number of people, the percentage of people who are able to access internet in the country is...
So it means it wasn't even...
It's one thing to be able to open Google Chrome, but it's another thing to be able to
The other day, my dad asked me to search for like the health benefits of like octopus for him. Tell me why this thing took like 30 minutes to load. And I couldn't even open the actual page. I was not reading from the Google search. You see that small snippet? I was just reading from there. I was like, you know, the thing is not loading, but over here it says the sentence is not finished, but let's just take it like that. We don't know how the sentence ends, but. And like, speaking of spending money on things, yes, internet bundle is necessary. You know, I don't mind. The thing that makes me angry about internet bundles that is necessary, so I have to waste my money on it. But you know, something that's not necessary, but I waste my money on, is eating out.
This
eating out.
I feel like I have to put it out. I'm not the kind of person that likes eating out. When my friends say they want to, oh, you know, have fun, it's like they are going out to eat and stuff. That's not my fun. And I tell people all the time that is not my fun.
That's very fair.
Going out to eat, I don't see it as fun. It's like I'm wasting my money because there's rice at home. Like,
you don't really get along with my mother.
But I waste my money elsewhere. I'm still wasting money. In the end, I'm still wasting money.
But I mean, that's fair.
Mine is nightlife. Like, I want to go everywhere. Like, that's where I want to waste my money.
Yeah, but I feel like that makes... Well, it depends. Like, you can craft an experience out of people.
I feel like it's
very true.
Something that you can make a choice.
But for me, I think I waste my money more like ordering, like I'm home. And there's rice in the house that I am in.
Yeah.
But I'm still order rice from outside.
Yeah. That's
You know, like I think that's waste my money. Like I still have something like, okay, or like, wait, I'm not that much. And there'll possibly be a cheaper alternative. But I'll decide that today. I want to order lunch.
I mean, today you posted on a good day, you're going to buy food.
Yeah, on a bad day, you're going to buy food.
Do you understand? Like,
no, because it's not like, it's very true. When I saw it, I was like,
me. Like, I will do it. And I think it's just, I mean, that's very dependent on my personality and who I am and like the things I believe in. But regardless, even when you want to treat yourself once in a while, it's still expensive.
Yeah.
Because if it's not the price of the food, it's the price of getting it to your house.
Or even the price of going
there. I'll go to all the transportation alone, crash.
Yeah. Like, it's mad. It's so sad. Like, hey, I for left car.
No, me, when it comes to, like, eating out or buying food or whatever, I feel like, me, I like food. And I really like experiencing other food. So, for me, I'm one of those people that, like, food is an experience for me. So if I'm choosing a restaurant, me and my friends are going out later this weekend on Sunday for brunch or lunch, whatever. And we're choosing a restaurant, and because of me, we've been choosing a restaurant for about a week. Because I'm like, no, I don't like this place. Like, I want somewhere, like, when I go, at least I know that if the food is this, if I'm buying fried yam for an overpriced price, at least I know that, okay,
the place is nice,
the service was good, I actually enjoyed
it. Didn't take too long.
Yeah. Exactly, I enjoyed being in the space, you know. Because I'm not going to go and buy fried yam. One of my mother can fry yam for me, yeah.
I mean, eating out is expensive. Insanely expensive.
But then, do you know what, me, on your note, you said that, like, you feel like eating out is always, you know, I feel like nightlife, because you know, I come from a place where you don't pay to enter place, but then I come here,
it's still wild to me.
And my friends tell me that it's like 150 to enter, 200
to enter.
And
you
I'm
see,
like, huh? To enter,
it's crazy because
no free shots or nothing.
Yes,
just
like, there's nothing
enter.
That's complimentary that comes with that money that you pay to get in. Like, you don't get anything in addition to the money you pay. So, like, there's nothing complimentary. So, you pay, say, 150 or 200, you're not getting a free drink, you're not assured of seating, there's no air.
It will stand, babe.
Like, what am I? Okay, then, you're giving me an experience, but please, come on. I feel like the experience also includes a complimentary drink, at least. At least.
And, like, do you remember when we went for that event? And I was, like, so impressed because. Also, it's a diaspora event, but then, like, first
had
of all,
a full meal.
The place we were going to,
just like,
yes, that's actually that I went to with Matt. Like,
it was because the place we were going to is expensive, but they gave us a lot of food. We had the drinks were unlimited, and like, even the water,
freebies.
And then we got,
that's when we got started on those freebies.
We got freebies, so like, I felt like it was really worth it. And also, if we had been paying attention, you would have gotten.
You wonder who else did that went and we didn't pay attention.
I mean, I did. You.
Oh, now you did. No, you see your friends.
Let them know so
you see your friends.
Let them know so you
now they're in the public eye, so you paid attention. Remember my sitting you should have seen Esther's face. Esther will look at me. I'm like, Esther, I didn't know what's going on. But now you paid attention. Fine. Wow, make me look like that serious.
Okay, we both weren't paying attention, but at least when I went to take the video, I was paying attention. Now and they have to give it to me. But like, it was really worth the price we paid for the ticket. But then, and you know, the thing that bothers me is that the fact that maybe you go to a place and yeah, the place is jammy and everything, but it's not your vibe. Mm. So you want to move to the next location. And that's what I'm used to back on campus. Mm. But after paying 200 cedis, I now understand why people party till 5 or 6 a.m. because
they pay to enter.
If you pay that much to enter, you have to leave when they're sweeping in the morning. Because why?
Yeah. And in December, everybody was just taking a piss. Everywhere you go, they were taking some sort of gate fee, ticket. We used to go to all these places for free. And even when you have a ticket, or even when you've paid for the gate fee or whatever, trying to get through the doors was a struggle because they are still taking money at the gates for people who don't have tickets yet.
It was making
the whole thing chaotic. I remember one time at this event, even if you had a wristband, like you had already bought a wristband for the event, you had to be in queue because there are now people in front of you who are trying to get in without wristbands and they are paying at the door and they have to give them change and the POS machine is not working.
I have to give them change, my dear. Next time, buy your ticket before the
thing. Right? So it made the whole process like, okay, if I can even come to the gate and I'll still get in. I'll just come to the gate. I'll not buy the ticket beforehand. Mm-hmm. And it made a lot of how do you call it? Show organizers or event organizers feel like, okay, even if I don't sell out on my tickets, I can sell them out at the gate. Mm. Meanwhile, some places will say, oh, tickets will not be sold at the gate.
Yeah.
But you go there and they have tickets.
When I went for Afrochella, the number of people who walked up to me talking about tickets.
Yeah.
I was like, you can't see. First of all, because we also bought a ticket from someone who decided not to go anymore. But then I'm literally wearing the thing, you're asking me tickets. All those things, I feel like they really just
change the whole experience.
Yeah, like they kind of dampen the experience because it's like, ah.
And now it takes a hard time to get to the level. You know when you're going to a place from your house, you're ginger for the place. Because me, when I'm going out and I'm really looking forward to a good time, it's from my house. That's so from my house... Wait, what are
you? You know,
you're not doing trip. You're sitting on a plane. But you trust it as Jolu.
So if you don't ginger yourself from the house,
you'll be angry by the time you get to your destination.
You get there, you want to go
home. I'm not going to talk again. I'll not speak for you, but to use me as a laughing stock.
No,
never. I get ginger from my house.
No, so, but sorry, let me cut it one more time. This year, we are saving to buy Matt a private jet.
One is long.
See,
you're wrong.
Let me tell you, we agreed to be here like 5 years.
That's because I left my house late.
Only Matthew.
I left my house
just before 8 or something. Why?
Because
he was coming from another continent.
And this is also another continent on its own. Don't let us...
The life is here. You are coming from where they're going.
Last.
And suburbs.
Last.
Is from like, but isn't when you're coming, how are you coming when you pass by?
Last. I live in Accra. You know someone can say they live in Accra and they live right in the border of Kasua.
You are from Kasua.
God forbid.
People say that East Lagos is from like, but East Lagos is where everything is. So even if it's far or not, you're the one who lives far away, my dear.
Yeah.
But anyway, sorry, back to what you were saying. You leave the house gingered up because
because I know I want to have a good time. Yeah. I want to get my spirits there. But then if I come to the gate and I have to wait a whole hour to get in. Now the level, if it was at 50. If it was at 50 when I was at... Mind you, I don't stand at gates for like an hour. I have people who come to collect rights. So let's get it correct. I'm speaking for the voiceless.
Oh my god.
Anyway, so yeah, that's what I was saying. When I'm coming from my house, let's say the energy is at 75 because I know that tonight they come down.
It's about to be lit.
If I come to the gate and I stay for an hour long just trying to get in, and I finally get in, right now the energy is 5 or 20, 20.
It's
5 or less, because now I'm like, okay, I've paid for the ticket, so I have to enter, but I'm not feeling the vibe. Then when I enter, maybe I see my friends who are already there, or and the vibe is there. Yeah, and the vibe is there, and they are gingering, and then maybe the vibe comes back. But imagine I go in and I'm the only one there. Now I'm asking my friends, oh, we've left too. So now the energy is zero. I'm going back home. Why did you make me stand in the queue for that long? So event organizers, don't sell tickets at the gate. I know you want to make your money, but please,
you pay. You know, you or just have like a different place where those people can go through.
Yeah,
honestly,
yeah,
I agree.
Yeah.
I feel like,
because people like decide last minute. Like, you know, sometimes like, something like it's not in your inside, and then at the very last minute, you're just like, something I want to go for this. Anyway.
Like, I'm not gonna lie, Afrochella, I decided to go
on the last day,
a few hours before the thing actually happened. Speaking of like meeting your friends and stuff like that, who had interacted with me while I was there, but now that I'm here, I'm like, damn, it's very clicky. It's very like, yo, very these people are actually like on the internet people. I don't know if it's because I'm not here, so it's like, oh, they're nice, but then when you come here, it's like,
I feel like in general, it's hard to make friends as you grow up. It's like
someone's telling me about
in
that.
General, I think I just feel like friendships get much harder as you grow up, because I mean, like, life is just unfolding for your eyes and you're overwhelmed and everybody's overwhelmed at the same time and stressed at the same time and panicking, and so like it makes it difficult to connect to the people that kind of like keep you grounded or whatever. And I mean, it's essential to be able to reach out to those people in times like that, but there's something, you're just very overwhelmed and you feel very alone in it. You're just like, oh my god, what's happening? Nobody cares about me or something, right? And then so that aside, then comes the added responsibility of making new friends. Like, you already feel like the people you're already friends with are not your friends. Now you have to start, hi, I am Sally and I like pancakes. You, what do you like?
Right?
Like, it's hard, right? So I feel like adulting in itself makes friendships difficult. But then in Accra, where the branding is thick,
the branding, yo, the branding,
and like everybody's just trying to keep up appearances, it's just so difficult. And I feel like for me, I haven't had a proper experience with like making friends in my crowd because I have decided not to. It's in recent times that I have made a few new friends, right? And just like, I'm just making a few new friends. I'm just like, oh, you know what, it might not be so bad. But then it is a lot of intentionality.
It does.
And a lot of time and patience and communication. Because life can be kicking your bum bum like seriously. But then you still have to like text somebody and be like, hey, what's up? Like, we haven't spoken in a while. But I mean, yeah, there's also that thing of like cliques and you know, this squad and this friendship group and stuff like that. And like, this is a conversation.
And it's very vicious in Accra. Like, you can
see. Vicious.
I agree.
You can actually see it. Like, I don't know how to say it, but you can see
I
it that
see what you're saying.
This is a group.
You
this
don't
a group,
mingle
this is a group.
In that group.
Yeah.
And like,
go there, you'll be an outcast.
Yeah.
Because I feel like I've always been an introvert. I've always had very few friends, but now growing up, alongside like, you know, making friends as an adult, I've found it very necessary to make friends that like contribute to my growth, and I can also contribute to your growth. So automatically I'm inclined, or I feel like it's more reasonable for me to make friends with people who are also creatives. You know, like, I feel like that I will intentionally go out of my way
to make
friends with someone that I think I might click with. Other people, if it just happens naturally, cool. But then because I'm such a loner and and content creation is hard. If you don't have at least one person that you can like rant to, you're gonna go crazy. But then in this Accra, I'm realizing that the way I view content creation, that's not how everybody else views content creation. So it's like,
How do you view content creation?
I mean, for me, I do it because I have a passion for it. So even me personally, if I have one person listening to my podcast or 10,000, I'm still going to do the podcast. But so like I put in all of them, but other people.
And how do you feel like that's different from the way it's even received?
Because a lot of creatives that I've spoken to really care about like statistics, you know, or like how many people are like liking my stuff. You know, like, watching. I'm doing this because it's like
getting me some recognition.
Exactly. I might be wrong. Again, this is just me coming from my perspective and the people I've interacted with. So
I agree with you.
You agree with me?
Yeah, I do agree with you.
That's how I've seen it.
Because I remember one time my friend, the very first time I became friends with Gisela Amabelan. I mean, we are not friends.
You know, I went to school with Amabelan. She was my senior.
Same. Anyway, so.
Lovely girl. Anyway.
The very first times, like, people got to see that we were interacting on the TL and stuff like that. I remember one of my friends said, "Hey, Cecilia, what joining YouTube click?"
That's literally what I just did right now. Now I sound like one of those people. I went to school with her. Anyways, long story short.
No, not that. Because you went to school with her, it's fine. But they are saying, because we interact, now I'm a part of the Ghanaian YouTube community because I'm interacting with the
but then why
most
that
important people, quote unquote, most important people in the Ghanaian YouTube team. Do you get what I mean? Because they are popular. So people think that now that I'm friends with them, I am fully welcome into the Ghanaian YouTube. But you don't need to be friends with them to be in the YouTube. If you are doing shit, just do your shit. You understand what I mean? And they are not also saying that they are the pioneers of YouTube or you have to know them to be validated or to be verified as a YouTube content creator. You can just do your thing, and if they notice you, they notice you. If they want to be friends with you, they want to be friends with you. So that click thing is everywhere, even on social media with influencers and other stuff. You can still see that their clicks and their clicks. So,
No, and another reason why I say this is because I've literally seen, there's one person that comes to mind, but I've literally seen someone start from a place where they started on YouTube. And they had like a very small following and they were really doing like really good content. You can see that person has passion for the content, right? And now they have like, they grew very quickly. And I'm not saying the person has lost the passion for the content they create or anything like that. But now I
can see the difference.
Yeah, I can see that it's gotten into the person's head. Because now the type of people in the YouTube community that the person is interacting with, it has become very clicky.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, and then, like, you know that thing.
But I feel like it's also something with content creation. They feel like when you name drop, that is when people get to see you more because, oh, you know this person. Then you're kind of a big deal. You roll with this person, you're kind of a big deal. You go here with this person, you're kind of a big deal. That's the kind of thing I don't do at all. So if you've checked my videos or something, you never see me with like popular people just because, oh yeah, this person is popular. And when I be on a video with this person, it's going to give me so many views. I remember one time Amabelan said we should do a video, and this is not anything bad I'm going to say. I mean, you can take it out if you want. And I told her that, oh, we would have to hang around, jiggete, so that we see if the vibe is there, right? And then, like, we never got to hang out in the first place, so we never got to do the collab. That was fine because she didn't even have a problem with it that we never got to hang out. And I mean, if today she wants to do the video, we'll still need to hang out for me to see if. If I put you there, I'll not have to compromise my character, my how I come on my channel all the time to suit how Ama comes on the channel, because if she comes, it's going to bring more views in. I want her viewers to stay. I'm going to do what I want to do. If Ama's viewers like it, they'll stay. Nonetheless, if I delete Ama's video today, the people who came with it, if they want to go, they'll still go. Like, you get it. So that one, name dropping and trying to push yourself into a certain clique for your content to look like, that's what's popping. I don't know. I think you're wasting your time. Just do you. And
it's fascinating because I feel like this only applies to the quote-unquote aesthetic version of content creating, right? Because I think of like different communities, like photographers or even podcasters. And I guess maybe it's unfair to use podcasters because it's still relatively new and it's still growing an audience. You're still here to have like big established meme.
But then that's the same with YouTube as well.
But then,
but I mean, I the Ghanaian YouTube scene is going.
The Ghanaian scene has caught on more than the podcast.
Yeah, 100%.
In my opinion, I don't know what the numbers are. What starts with
it has caught on.
I feel like it has caught on, right? And so those are the things where people have or feel the need to pose a certain way, act a certain way, whatever. And it's just very interesting to see and like just to watch unfold, because I'm just like, wow. Do you really have to do all of that?
Right?
Like, do you have... Like, that seems like a lot of energy for...
You to put on a whole...
I don't think I would like to prove myself wrong, but I don't know if I would ever actually pick up a camera and have a YouTube channel where, like, it has my face on it. Like, I always say this thing, like, big ups, like, to you, Matt, and, like, everybody who has a YouTube channel, because... I look at you, I'm just like, God, it can never be me.
I mean, I used to think the same, like,
and that's when I started, like, I would like to be corrected. Like, I would like to be corrected. I have a lot of friends who tell me that you should start a YouTube channel, but I don't think I can sustain it for my own personal reasons. Like, me, I'm busy, I'm like, it's so many things. But then, even just like the energy I feel in me, like the mental capacity to be able to, first of all, deal with trolls, because people are going to be saying things about you, people are going to be posting all sorts of nasty things under your videos. It has like, battle and just like push through it.
Don't you think as like a podcaster you're also,
I feel like there's less direct
see that's the thing I like because about
with
podcasting
there's no comment section. Like, okay, there is, but people don't really,
if I put it on Spotify for example, right, you're not going to come and post on Spotify that my voice
irritates.
You can put it on Twitter and I may never see.
Yeah,
that is my YouTube video that I've posted. My face, I said, better. Hello, guys, welcome to my channel. Then if you post it under Madame, where you sleep, your voice is annoying.
From 19th of December.
You said
18th. I don't even remember when I started going out. 18th or
19th. Mm-hmm.
I met someone every single day, at least a person every single day until like. Even on 1st January, I met someone because I was at my friend's house party. And then someone was like, I know you from. And my default thing comeback is, you don't know me. The most fascinating one was, I was in a mask and a cap. Someone said they know me. It was like around the world or something like that. And I said, I'm sorry, you know me from where? So me, I was saying, oh, I went to this school. The person said, I don't know you from school. I didn't go to your school. I knew it was YouTube. I didn't want to say that, oh, you know me from YouTube. So she was just there and she said, I know where I know you from. YouTube, you have a YouTube channel, da, 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 da. And I said, are you sure you know me from YouTube? She said, yes, I know. She was ready to argue with me that I had a channel on YouTube. So that's how much I've seen the extent to which YouTube travels. So you can't say that no one knows you. Even if they've chanced on your video once, they still know you. They know your face, they know your channel. So that one there, you can't say that you
don't
know.
That's true. Okay, well.
Anyway, shout out to all of you guys who said hi to me.
Yeah, no, I feel like when it comes to, again, making friends in Accra, I've had a really hard time. I've really felt alone because also a lot of the friends I used to have all have their own clips and groups now that they form the uni. And it's so like, and then also I'm coming from a place where back where I go to school, I don't even have a group of friends. I don't even have a group of friends over there. So I don't know, I just feel like this is a very personal thing, but
I think it's a very common thing actually. Like, I've had conversations with a couple of friends in recent times and we all admitted that in as much as other people we may look like we're in one friendship group, individually we all feel like we don't have an actual friendship group.
But that's because you are in the same group, do you get what I mean?
No, but it's like, you see, that's the thing, like, it's where it's like you're in one group, but you don't even feel like, say 3-4 of us don't even feel like this is us. It's like there's the group and then there's us. And then sometimes we hang out.
I get what you're saying now.
So it's not like it's just you, it's a thing. I don't know if it's part of the adulting or it's just a crap, but it's a thing, it's not just you, it's common.
I don't mind being alone, but then
it's always nice to have a friendship group. For me, I'm big on friends, right? I'm super big on friends. And so it definitely feels like there are definitely times where I feel like, I wish I had like my own group of, say, 6-8 people. Yeah. Where, like, I know it's us, right? It's like we're constantly making plans. Like, I don't have that Like, when people make jokes about, like, the group chats, or, like, you know, just mm-hmm. people say, like, I don't even know which one I'm with. I don't know which group.
You even have group chats that you're in.
Like,
all my group chats are last year group chats, so.
Like, I don't even know. Like, I feel like we are friends, but, like, they all have their people, right?
No, because me, I just want, like, a group of friends were like, oh, I want to travel.
Then you know that.
These are the people who can't come.
There's not going to be any arguments about, oh, can I bring this kind? No, because we know it's just us and no one else. And, like, also, I want to be in a space where, like, when I take out a camera to record, when I bring my microphone along,
nobody's going to be weird.
Like, yeah, no one's going to be weird around it. No one's going to be asking me.
Yeah.
Annoying questions.
I've actually gotten a couple of questions. Oh, did you bring your vlog? No, I didn't, because I don't want people to come ask me, what are you doing? Why is he having a camera?
Right. Like, I don't...
Like, creating content in Accra is... People make it feel weird, like...
But I feel like depending on the people you are with...
Oh, yeah, 100%.
It makes it better.
I mean, I brought my vlog here.
Exactly.
Because I am a content creator.
Exactly.
But when you step out...
Retired. Ex and retired.
When you step out... People are more comfortable with you doing whatever you are doing with your phone than with a camera. Meanwhile, it's literally the same thing. Okay. I remember one time I was at the hospital trying to get my COVID vaccine, right? And then I think that video is on my channel now. So yes, I was having my camera on the table this way, and then I was getting the jab. The lady does it, and then she realizes, oh, I'm taking a video of it. And she says, oh, did she come inside? And I said, no, you didn't come inside. And then her friend comes, and her friend says, he's a blogger.
A blogger?
Yeah, like, I write for the news. I'm a blogger. Something like that. So I'm taking the information to a news network. We are going to say something. And I'm like, bro, your friend's face is not even on it. And then she makes me play back the video to her. I play it back, and then she said, "Ovo is bamu. Ovo is bamu."
So annoying.
She told her friend, and I was really over it. So I just told her, "You know what? I'm just going to delete it." And then the lady who gave me the shots was like, "She doesn't have a problem with it, but she wishes I told her I was going to do it before I did." True. But then I told her I wanted to take a video of myself. So, now I don't understand, what do you mean I should have told you? You should have kept quiet if you didn't want your voice to be in it. And literally, the only thing she said in that video was, I think this is the last... so they should bring more. That was the only thing she said. And she was like, still, my friend, she was just making reference. Yeah. And you know how Ghana is. People are really afraid of being on the news because then your pastor are going here, then this one going here, and... Your whole credibility is down the drain. So I just deleted the video because I didn't want to deal with two old women who didn't know what was happening. And I was not about to explain what I do on social media for two old women. I just left it and I deleted. I mean, what is the footage that I cannot delete?
So it don't make you even feel bad.
Right? And then I tweeted it on Twitter and someone said, hey, you said Twitter. Well, I tweeted about it and someone said they don't understand why they asked me to delete it, because that person has a video of himself with, and multiple people said the same thing. And I was saying, I think it's because I used a camera rather than a phone.
I definitely understand you. I've come to realize that I use my, like, for my Seattle vlog, I use my phone a lot more. Because also, do you know one thing I hate? I hate looking like a tourist. I really hate looking like a tourist. When I went to Seattle, I was like, oh, this is such a touristy city. Everybody was holding these big ass cameras, especially when I go to like galleries and stuff. So I just use my phone. But then that also makes me look like an influencer. So I don't know, for me.
Why don't you make it sound like they're bad things?
I mean, they're not bad things, but
people have their perceptions.
I told you already, I don't like labels. I don't want to be an influencer.
But like, that's their mind. I mean, I get it, but for like in this instance, I feel like you have to do what you have to do.
That's true. That's what I've come to like. That, like, at the end of the day, it's a realization that you
at the end of the day comes. It's not something that you wake up and you say,
oh yeah, definitely.
I mean, it happens. So
I've realized I have to do what I have to do, and someone can think I'm an influencer, content creator, that's their business. Me, I know
what you
I
are.
Have no label because I'm a lot of things. I'm a multifaceted artists, or we'll take it like that. So, aside casual friendships in that class, another aspect of relationships in general, social interactions, is relationships and romantic relationships and dating that kind. I mean, I've only been here for a couple of weeks, so I wasn't out here trying to look for a husband or anything. Me, I was just vibing because I wasn't trying to. I'm not trying to do long distance, none of that. But then I really want to hear your perspectives on, like, you know.
I feel like
they said 2022 is what, a shower season.
Well, I think for me with romantic, and this is something like I tell a lot of people in like close circles. Like, I feel like we over prioritize romantic relationships.
Right.
I'm a sucker for love. Like, I'm a hopeless romantic. I would watch a very cheesy movie and I would smile from ear to ear and I'd get so excited and be. But like, there's so much more to life than that,
mm-hmm.
and I feel like sometimes you just over prioritize romantic relationships and put them on this pedestal that is very unnecessary. Like, I think I have reached a point where I'm just like, okay, you know what? If it comes, it comes. But if it doesn't, it doesn't.
Yeah.
Right. Like, there's so much more to life outside of that,
mm-hmm.
and I haven't like done a lot of what's the word fraternizing in the dating scene in Ghana. Or in Accra to talk a lot about it. But just from like the conversations I have with people and even Twitter, streets be looking so rugged. Yeah, like,
the street is crowded.
I'm like, this is what is going on
street
here.
They used to say somebody's ex is another person, but this one, somebody's boyfriend.
Like, I'm just like, people are really going through it in the streets. Yeah.
It's hard.
But in recent times, like, I have been more open to like meeting people, talking to different people and things. And I mean, so far, so good, honestly. Like, I haven't met any crazy person. I'm not yet. No, like, for me, it's been calm. Like, there hasn't been any crazy person that I met so far. Like, one time, one of my best friends and I were talking. She was talking about how, like, people were legit, like, verbally abusing her because she rejected their advances. I haven't had those kinds of stories. And I'm very grateful. Very, very grateful. I don't need mad men in my DMs. But, like, I've just seen that it can be very crazy, very chaotic. Like, there was a point where, like, especially in December, you see someone coming to you, today, my friend's boyfriend got married.
Mm.
Yeah, December, I was like, yo, it's tough out now. I was like, is it that I wasn't teaching this week because I was in the country? Or just December, the 7th is the
time I just feel like...
I literally have a friend whose cousin came back to get a divorce.
Mm.
And a baby mama.
Wow. Like, it's wild. I don't know why people are
so much, it's too much.
I don't know, vicious, as Marcel puts it. Vicious, heartless.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I don't know. I don't think it's necessary. Like, I don't know. It's not necessary. It's not worth the stress, if you ask me.
Talking about romantic relationships in Accra, I feel like everybody has got to the point where they are so skeptical about being in a romantic or even falling in love because these days, you never know. They come in twos. They come black and white. You never know what part you get. If you get a white, thanks be to God. If you get a black, you have a problem. So, personally, talking from...
Wait, why do you associate the black with the bad part?
Because also, they come in pairs. They come two times.
What you say?
We have this discussion after the episode because continue.
Yeah, so about that, people don't really want to put themselves in situations where they'll be taken for the fool, because you know how these people pride themselves with how,
but you see,
I broke this person.
Me, that's
I'm
what
done
I
dealing
do.
With this person.
Me, I'm not even like me. That's
everybody
what I
trying to move harder.
I wouldn't even dare. I will be a hopeless romantic, break my heart. Okay, life goes on. Because, just because I feel like, again, I mean, yeah, like, it's painful and whatever, but, like, life goes on.
But then also, some of us have also experienced things
because
from the other side.
Because I'm now, sorry.
No, sir, you can't even
I'm
cut it out. So that it's not like you're shutting
up. I'm saying ill, because she was looking at me, but I'm saying ill because I'm someone who's not in touch with my emotions. I'm very...
Same.
Like, you're not
same.
Gonna see that side of me.
Really?
Oh yeah.
I mean, you'll get to see it, but
recently I'm becoming the type of person, like, I'm trying to be a soft girl. Because I'm realizing that the hard girl challenge,
I don't have energy for this.
It is tasking. But you know what I realized? It's also
my day to day life already takes away my energy. I cannot now be fronting and be building wall with cement blocks. I don't have that energy. Like, if I'm going to be vulnerable, I will be vulnerable. But at the same time, it does take a while and it does take a lot for me to get there. But eventually I will. And it's not because, like, I just don't want to be coming up as a hard girl, but it is what it is. But
me, it's not like I even tried to come up as a hard girl. Just naturally,
that's how I am. Yeah.
And now I've realized that, like, being a soft girl is definitely better because I'm actually not happy, like, I'm sad because someone did something that hurt my feelings or something, I have better days. I have better sad days than when I'm trying to be a hard girl and I'm sad, but I'm trying to be a hard girl. But then I have to deal with all these people. Like, I'm not in the mood, but I have to pretend I'm in the mood. So, like, being a soft girl is really paying off. I'm still learning how to fully be a soft girl, but yeah.
I hope you discover all of it this year.
I know, I really want to discover all of it this year.
When I speak, I speak for the voiceless. Yeah. I speak for the people who don't want to show romance in Accra. Yeah. The front leader.
Yeah.
I feel like a lot of factors influence it. Not just being you're saying, okay, I don't want to be. From a point of where you have been someone they've been cheating with. So right now being someone,
like, your eyes have seen everything.
So now you are very suspicious of everything and everybody, right? So you don't want to put yourself in a situation where now I am the front man. I'm the one in charge. Is there someone behind? Is there someone they tell me that they are asleep and they are talking to? Is something going on? Is there someone who comes to sleep in the bed when I wake up?
That's a lot.
Like, you want to,
there's some stressful.
Right? Yeah. You want to think about it so that you don't become the fool because you yourself, you don't.
You've helped someone make someone else a fool.
Right. So you don't want to be in this. Right.
My own is that, what type of friends do I have? So you guys are out here.
Hey, because I'm not bad. But I am not among.
You're here for
no, but I know what he means.
And then there's the other side where maybe you are kind of a popular person, or you know so many people, or you're just out there, and people have their teeth ready to just devour you when you do something wrong or when something happens, especially people who are in public romantic relationships. Sometimes I feel like when they get out of a broken one that was public, they take a step back to making their other relationships public because they fear bullying, and then they fear people bringing it up every time something else happens. Like, I feel like the same person is going through our heads right now, but yeah. Somebody like that, I'll understand that the person would not want to bring their relationships out, or they don't want to be romantic anymore because romance led them somewhere that they didn't want to be.
But you see, like, life is for the living, Charlie. I always say,
but that's the thing.
And
it's,
I feel like
that
it takes a lot of energy to constantly try and run away from something.
Yeah, I agree. But Charlie, what's my eyes see for our crap? I think I was talking to my auntie yesterday and she was asking me about something. I said, to be honest, at this point, I'd prefer people, girls, any relationship doesn't have to be with someone in Accra. Like, I'm just afraid because I feel like Accra people, how many are bruised?
Why do you think the wickedness is brooding only Accra?
At least it's subdued somewhere else. Subsidized, fake versions, no, baby. But Accra, the original niggas, no, Halun say, no.
There.
The originators of it.
No, I don't believe that.
Me neither. I don't believe that. I feel like if you want to be savage, wherever you are, you'll be savage, Charlie.
This
we don't know what's going on with the romance in the rest, though, so I know.
You have no idea.
But now it's a hot over there, friend. But now we've discussed everything. I feel like we can go on and on about living in Accra. So many aspects. If we're even going to start talking about political aspects, parents and things, we'll sleep here. We're going to sleep here today. So we're going to bring this episode to an end. But before we do that, I'm introducing a new segment onto the podcast.
Okay.
It is called hot fire. You say hot. Hot fire questions. So, I mean, they're not that hot, but just something to, you know, leave you all who are listening to, something for you to think about as we end the episode. So, the first question, if you could live in any other city for a week, where would you live?
City. Anywhere in the world. Off the top of my head, and despite all the things I've seen, I'd say Paris. Honestly, because of Emily in Paris.
I think that show is shit.
Oh, I enjoyed it. It
was, I don't want to watch it because I feel like it will spoil my perception.
I enjoyed it. I mean, that was a conversation about how Paris smells and looks like urine and stuff. But
really?
Apparently, mm-hmm. That's like the real smell of Paris. All the besties. But then, yeah, I think I'd say Paris just because of Emily Paris. Like, I just want to see what it would be like.
I'll let you know.
I feel like it's a very expensive city.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would say Lyon, which is also in France. Yeah,
it's in France.
Yeah.
Yeah. French food.
For city, I wouldn't have known, but then I'm saying Lyon because I have a... Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you do, right? Oh, my God.
Yeah, I have a friend... that's my pen pal, right? Shout out Leah. I know she'll be listening because she supports my shit. Wait, can you cancel it?
You know how this girl cussing place. You're not asking.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so she supports my shit. And I know she's listening. So she's the only reason why I would go and live in Lyon so that we explore the city together. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, she's a really nice person.
I'm going to visit her. I don't even know the person, but I'm going to visit her.
Are you going to Lyon?
I'm going to Paris.
Well.
I can travel. Yeah. I can take a
And trip. She's a nice person, so I can.
Me, I'm a whole show.
Ah, don't worry.
When I met Sally, the first thing I said was, "Sis, I'm a whole show." So I'm shy, but I'm a whole show. Yeah, I think for me, if I were to choose, I don't know, either London or Paris as well.
London.
I feel like if I weren't born in the US, I'll be born in the UK. I feel like I really click with British babes, the ones I see on the internet, anyways. But okay, next question. I only have two because I couldn't come up with the third one. Free internet for a month or free transportation for a month?
Transportation.
Why?
Because personally, I feel like I spend more money on transportation than data. So I'll save a lot of money if I can get free transportation. I mean, that means I can go anywhere.
That's true.
Ha,
me,
please.
I would say transportation because I get bored of the internet a lot of times. Like, look at the number of unread messages I have, and I'm on my phone, but I'm not replying them.
That's literally.
Yeah, so that's why I'll say transport, and I'm the kind that I'm always, let's go here, let's do this.
Yeah.
Let's go to this one's house. I just want to go and sit there. Let's just talk. Let me see you in person. Like, that's my vibe. Than just being on the phone.
Yeah.
In it, I can say I watch 5-10 snaps in a day. Mm. Maybe Instagram more because it's just going through. Yeah, but then on Snapchat, I hardly on WhatsApp.
I'm not gonna say more because I was replying myself.
Do you have to say it in there?
But do you know that that's the same thing for me?
But you know you're one of the first always, people.
You're
who,
like
probably yeah.
There
it's like on IG as well. You're one of the very first people that come on my thing.
So what we're gathering here is I'm an entertaining person. Got it.
I would choose free internet because I use the internet a lot. Aside like social media, like for example for my podcast, when I'm interviewing people who are not, when it's long distance, I need a lot of data.
But then imagine like free transport, you can go and record in person.
But then why we're not in the same country?
Right? Yeah, it's still transport.
Oh yeah, that's all over the world, right? And I get to see more places. Yeah, because there's Wi-Fi in airports and hotels and shit. Shoot, yeah, free transportation actually. I considered it to be only like
Uber. Yeah, because for me, like for me, like complicated logistics take the energy out of a fun time for me. So if I begin to have, like, if I start thinking about how am I going to get
there, it's complicated logistics. Just trying to say transport problems.
if I'm thinking about like getting there and moving and up, and I'm just like, it's okay, I'll not go again.
Right. Mm.
So if that doesn't come, like it's not a headache anymore, I'm going. I would have to just pack my bag.
Mm-hmm.
And I would just say, okay, I want to go in. And I'll say, okay, come back, we don't pay.
If I have the ability to travel everywhere, I would travel everywhere to interview. That's very true.
But yeah.
But yeah. Well, we've spoken a lot. We literally took a break to eat. I'm going to mention it because we stopped to eat. We've been recording for a while.
And
now.
You will a see it on while. My channel.
So yes, now's the time. Plug your social media.
Yay.
You go first. You have more things to plug.
More things, really. Okay, anyway, so my name is Matt. I already said at the beginning of the podcast, I'm a YouTuber. I create content on Instagram, kind of.
Do you? Yeah, you've been on a long break. You've been on a long kind break.
I mean, when it brings money, I'm going to do it. On time, but when it's for myself.
Right.
Yeah, so... Yeah, this episode is going to be on YouTube as well, on my channel, because it's also a collab with Esla and Selly. So my YouTube channel name is MATT ONDIZZZ. I don't know why I use triple Z, but maybe in the future I'll change it, but it's Matt on this. So if you search Matt on... if you search Matt on this, it's supposed to show up. And then yeah, subscribe if you like the content. Don't subscribe if you just like one video. I don't want so many subscribers and just little views.
Hey,
yeah.
You know, like.
Yeah, well, so that's it. Yeah, so that's me for you. And I hope you subscribe to this podcast. I want you to subscribe to this podcast. If especially you are coming from my channel to watch this, to listen to this.
Yes,
yeah.
As for me, I am an ex-retired content creator.
Ex-retired,
now I find out there which
I know. I mean, I used to do I used to host and produce a podcast, but I mean, I've been on a very long break. I will be back, I promise, soon. But for now, you can follow me on Instagram. It's at enjoymymami. Mami spells M-A-M-I and there's an underscore.
Yeah, I think for now that's about it. If anything new comes up, you find out over there. So,
yeah.
And I will leave the links to both of their social medias in the description for this episode. Thank you so much for listening to this episode. I will catch you on the next episode.
Bye! Say nobody hit it right like me. She confess. Men don't get on your knees. Girl never digress. Ooh, she really wanna flex with me. She wanna break bread with me. Bad man looking good in the air. Bad man dripped on the cup. Spot cars parked on the right spot. Bad man slick and you know. Bad man looking good in the air. Thank you for listening to this episode of A Penny and a Peswa. Stay in the loop and join the conversation by following us on Instagram and Twitter at @penny_apeswa. All guest information can be found in the description of today's episode. You can listen to A Penny and a Peswa on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and all podcast listening platforms. Don't forget to subscribe and leave a review of 5 stars. See you on the flip side.